रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः. युद्धकांड चैप्टर नंबर 131, द कोरोनेशन ऑफ सीता एंड रामा. आफ्टर लिसनिंग टू दिस चैप्टर ऑफर द लॉर्ड स्पेशल फ्रूट्स एंड स्वीट्स एंड फ्लावर्स. विद हिज फोल्डेड हैंड्स रेज्ड अबव हिज हेड भरत स्पोक दस टू हिज वैलेंट ब्रदर, Lord, you gladden the heart of my mother by giving up the kingdom of Kosala and setting off to live in a forest. At Chitrakuta, you entrusted that kingdom to me, and now I restore it unto you. You may say, return it to me only when I want it back, and till then keep it to yourself. Leave me free to live happily in Ayodhya, enjoying all pleasures, free from the cares and anxieties of the state. You had better continue as a ruler. Oh, now, dear brother, how can a calf carry a burden that was borne by a strong bull? I can bear no more the groaning weight of a kingdom. You may ask, how then did you do it so long? It is no bed of roses to keep intact a kingdom. As the banks of rivers and lakes have to be fortified with trees and other revetments to prevent the flood waters from breaching them, so has a kingdom to be protected with great care, and this is no easy task. You may again ask, can you not win the confidence of the people with kingly qualities even as I? What a world of difference between the fleet horse and a slow-paced donkey, or between the common crow and a royal swan. Can another set foot on the path that you tread? But you may say, let me assist you when you rule. There was a gardener who planted a seed in fertile soil and devoted all his time and care to the rearing of it. In good time, the seed sprouted. It became a plant. It grew into a mighty tree that hid the earth and the sky with its dense foliage. No one dared to go up among its branches. It was almost invisible beneath its mantle of flowers. But if it bore no fruit, not a single one, just imagine the cold misery of him who planted it and reared it so carefully, all eager to enjoy the fruit of his labors. For 60,000 years, our father lived without a child. After performing Ashwamedha and the Putrakameshti sacrifices, did he beget you? You have been endowed with the sublime virtues and have been brought up in the midst of pomp and splendor. Our father's desire was to entrust the kingdom to you and so enjoy the fruit of all his labors. You are our Lord, our Master, our Protector. Do you not fail in your duty if you do not watch over our safety? In spite of your being possessed with all royal qualities, if you should refuse to reign over the kingdom, which has been ruled all along by the eldest sons of the Ikshvaku race through successive generations, of what avail would be the efforts and wishes of our illustrious father? And the illustration above will apply to you. It will be an insult to your intellect if I offer an interpretation of it. Grant this world the pleasure and privilege of beholding you crowned in all glory and installed on the throne of the Ikshvaku today, resplendent as the midday myriad-rayed Lord of Day. May you wake up at sunrise, hearing the pleasing music, the sweet melody of many instruments, and the jingling sounds of the waist belts and anklets of dancing damsels. You are indeed the fittest person to enjoy all pleasures. Say not, are you not all my brothers, and should you not too like to rule the kingdom? As long as the sun, the moon, and the stars exist, and as long as this earth has its being, so long shall you be the Lord and Master of all here. Rama accepted the offer of Bharata and took his place on an auspicious seat. At the orders of Shatrughna, skilled and quick tonsorial artists waited upon Raghava and his three brothers, and the matted hair was neatly removed. When Bharata, Lakshmana, Sugriva, and Vibhishna had bathed, Rama and Lakshmana were adorned by Shatrughna with the rare and beautiful garlands perfumed with sweet scents, and were robed in silken garments and bedecked with various ornaments. The queens of Dasharatha themselves dressed Sita. Kaushalya, on account of her boundless affection towards the son Rama, did herself all that was necessary to adorn Tara and other Vanara women. Then, at the instance of Shatrughna, Sumantra, the royal charioteer, brought the glittering chariot yoked with decorated horses of noble pedigree. Delighted at the sight of the chariot, which was shining like the sun, Rama took a seat in it. Sugriva and Hanuman, clad in the best of clothes and adorned with jewels and looking like Mahendra, accompanied Rama. Sita and the wives of Sugriva, similarly bedecked, gorgeously went with them, eager to see Ayodhya. At Ayodhya, Vasishtha and the other ministers of Dasharatha were busy collecting the auspicious materials required for the coronation of Rama. Ashoka, Vijaya and Sumantra addressed Vasishtha, "May you perform all the due ceremonies for promoting the prosperity of the country and for ensuring Rama's health and happiness, wealth and welfare." And then left the city to meet Rama. Even as Devendra journeys in the celestial car drawn by the divine horses, Rama, shone in all his glory in the chariot, set off towards the capital. Bharata, sitting by the side of Sumantra, held the reins and guided the chariot. Shatrughna supported the white umbrella of the Ikshvaku kings. Lakshmana waved the chauri over his head and also fanned him. Vibhishna, the king of the Rakshasas, waved the other chauri. The sky was melodiously charged with the sweet music of the Devas, Gandharvas, Yakshas, Vidyadharas, Uragas, Garudas, Pannagas, Siddhas, Sadhyas, Nagas and Maruts, who were eulogizing Rama for having delivered them from the clutches of the Rakshasas. Sugriva rode on the back of Shatrunjaya, the mountain-like elephant, and shone brilliantly like Indra on his Airavata. The Vanaras, assuming the forms of men and bedecked with various kinds of jewels, rode on 9,000 elephants. Raghuvira sped towards the city with the blare of the conches and dundubis, while sweet strains of music came from the stringed instruments accompanied by drums. The ministers followed him close behind, invoking benediction. "May victory be yours forever." Like the silvery moon in the firmament with myriad stars, Rama looked resplendent in the midst of Brahmanas, ministers and other citizens. Many preceded him, sounding cymbals and other similar auspicious instruments. Virgins and Brahmanas marched past, carrying rice mixed with turmeric dust. Many carried sweetmeats. Cows of rare and best qualities went with them. As Rama recounted in detail to his ministers as they proceeded, the manner of his making friends with Sugriva, the glorious exploits of Hanuman and other monkeys, the massive might of the Rakshasas, and the equally massive help rendered by Vibhishna, the citizens listened with wonder. Conversing thus, Rama entered Ayodhya, the home of the prosperous and happy citizens. Every house was gaily decorated with garlands and flowers and festoons and flags. With the prayers and good wishes of the people, Rama stepped into the palace of the Ikshvakus. He made his deep obedience to Kaushalya, Sumitra and Kaikeyi. Turning to Bharata, he said, "Let Sugriva stay in our royal palace, beautiful with its Ashoka grove." Bharata, understanding Rama's wishes, took Sugriva by the hand and led him into the palace. Attendants sent by Shatrughna furnished the home with lighted lamps, couches and coverlets. Then Shatrughna addressed Sugriva, "Lord, be pleased to send your messengers to bring quickly the holy waters for Rama's coronation." Four of the best Vanaras were sent for. Handing over to them four gold pots set with gems, Sugriva directed them thus, "O Vanaras, before the sun rises tomorrow, you should be ready here with these pots filled with holy waters of the four oceans as well as of the sacred spots." Thus enjoined, the powerful Vanaras flew with the speed of Garuda. Jambavan, Hanuman, Vegadarshi, Rishabha and others fetched in golden pitchers holy water from the 500 rivers. Sushena from the eastern ocean, Rishabha from the southern ocean, Gavai from the western ocean and Nala from the northern ocean. When the Vanaras had completed their task, Kshatrughna and the ministers informed Vasishtha and other friends. Then Vasishtha of the ancient days, the priest of the Ikshvaku race, with his mind and senses serene, having obtained the assent of the Brahmanas, installed Raghava and Sita on the throne bedecked with gems. As the Vasus enthroned Indra, even so did Vasishtha, Vamadeva, Jabali, Kashyapa, Katyayana, Suyajna, Gautama and Vijaya, the eight Mahatmas, enthroned Sri Ramachandra, bathing him with pure and fragrant water to the beatified chanting of the Vedas. The sacrificial priests and the brahmanas, the virgins and the officials, the kshatriyas and the vaishyas, sprinkled on Raghuvira holy water mixed with the juices of celestial herbs. The regions of the sky were thronged with the joyous devas and the guardian deities of the four quarters. Kshatrughna held aloft the white umbrella. Sugriva waved the white chamara. The lord of the winds, sent by Indra, garlanded Rama with lotus wreaths made of golden petals and with strings of pearls of dazzling beauty. The devas and gandharvas sang rapturously. The apsaras danced with graceful skill. The earth was covered with plenty. The trees were laden with fruits. The flowers breathed sweet fragrances. Raghunatha then presented to the brahmanas and other guests hundreds of cows and calves, bulls, horses, 30 crores of gold coins and all kinds of ornaments and clothes. Sugriva was presented with a garland made of gold inlaid with many gems. Bali's son Angada was the recipient of a pair of bracelets set with diamonds. Sri Rama gave Sita a garland of pearls and precious stones which shone like the rays of the sun. She, in her turn, looked significantly at her lord, with his implied consent, gave to Hanuman the gift of a pair of noble garments and beautiful ornaments. Then, taking the garland from her neck, she looked again and again at the monkeys and at her lord. Was it not the wish of Rama when he gave this garland to me in the midst of the assemblage that I should present it to somebody here? Who is worthy to receive it? Such were Sita's thoughts. Rama, who knew what was passing in her mind, said to her, "Give it to him with whom you are most pleased, to whom whose manliness, prowess, intelligence are beyond comparison." Without hesitating, she put the garland on the neck of Hanuman, who then shone like the mountaintop, girdled by white moonlit clouds. Rama then presented Mahendra, Dvivida, Nila and other monkeys with suitable and worthy gifts of garments and ornaments according to their deserts. Vibhishna, Sugriva, Hanuman and Jambavan and other monkey chiefs, who also received worthy presents of gems, jewels and other precious things, left for their homes. The Vanaras, mightily pleased at the sight of the coronation, returned to Kishkindha. Vibhishna, the king of the Rakshasas, received as the gift the Sri Ranga Vimana, the ancestral wealth of the Ikshvaku lineage, and left for Lanka. Then Rama ruled over the kingdom, cherishing his subjects as if they were his own children and punishing the evildoers. He said to Lakshmana, "Brother, thou art well versed in dharma. Share with me the burden of kingship which has been borne so ably by our ancestors." But Lakshmana, in spite of persistent persuasions, would not agree. Bharata, the Mahatma near and dear to Rama, was then consecrated as Yuvaraja. Countless sacrifices, the Pundarika, Ashwamedha and Vajpayee and others were performed by Lord Rama. Thus, he ruled for 11,000 years, doing hundreds of horse sacrifices in which he made large gifts of money. with arms reaching down to his knees, shoulders mighty as a Meru mountain, famed for his prowess, ever waited upon by Lakshmana, he lorded over the earth. He pleased the gods by performing many a sacrifice along with relatives and his friends. When Rama reigned, women never lost their husbands. There was no occasion for them to lament at all. No danger was there from wild animals and none suffered from disease. Nor was there any fear from thieves. No one was touched by hardship. No occasion arose for the old to perform the obsequies of the young. Everyone lived happily, ever wedded to Dharma. Following in the footsteps of Rama, the people refrained from injuring one another. They lived for the span of 1,000 years, begetting thousands of children and untouched by sickness or sorrow. When Rama ruled, the name Rama ever lived on the lips of men and women, and they talked all the time of his noble deeds and character. The whole world, nay, every action therein was Rama intoxicated. Throughout the year, the trees grew luxuriously with branches, flowers, and fruits. The clouds shed rain in proper season, and the winds blew gently. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras were all free from avarice and followed dutifully their own professions with contentment and joy. Ever wedded with Dharma and truth, the subjects were endowed with excellent qualities and engaged in the practice of virtue. With his brothers always in attendance, Rama reigned for 11,000 years with pristine glory. This first and grandest epic, a mighty repository of the priceless wisdom enshrined in the Vedas, was composed in the far past by Maharishi Valmiki. It confers on kings long life, fame, victory, and every other blessing desired. He who reads it or he who hears it is cleansed of his sins. Do you desire offspring from your loins? You fail not to get it. Is wealth your object? You have it as much as you wish. The king triumphs over his enemies and rules the lord of the earth. The woman that listens to this holy narrative with a heart full of devotion rejoices in her length of days and wealth of children and grandchildren even to the seventh remove, like unto the queens of King Dasharatha, who saw the Lord himself come down onto the earth as children of their own loins, and rejoice in everything that the world can give and the next. Anger and her sister passions find no place in the heart of him who listens to the word of Valmiki. He puts away all misery behind him forever. The wanderer in strange lands is restored to the bosom of those that love him. Sri Rama is ever ready to gratify his requests. The shining ones are delighted beyond measure. The evil powers that may infest his house become his very friends and benefactors. Young women do bring forth excellent sons to gladden their hearts. Those of the royal race that listen to it with a devout heart from some good Brahmana are ever blessed with wealth unbounded and offspring numerous. Sri Rama is ever pleased with one who regularly reads or hears the whole of Ramayana, for is he not Mahavishnu, the eternal, the first and the foremost of all the gods, the mighty lord of the lords, Hari and Narayana? In short, an ever-growing circle of kinsmen, abundance of wealth and corn, faithful and devoted wives, perfect health, long life, fame and upright heart, spiritual splendor, good brothers and everything that the human heart can wish for, all this and much more form the meed of him who studies with a pure heart and devout this noble epic of sage Valmiki. Thus has been narrated this epic story of events that happened in the far remote past. May everything good and gracious go with you. Speak out the words. Let the boundless might of Lord Vishnu that baffles the word and thought grow forever through countless worlds. Speak it without a shadow of shyness or a glint of misgiving. Speak it with a heart unclouded with doubt or uncertainty. When the Ramayana is read or heard, all the gods are filled with perennial delight. The manes are gratified when one lends one's willing ear to the recital of Ramayana. Those who listen with devotion to this holy composition of sage Valmiki abide in the world of the gods. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunaptaye Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam. This is the conclusion of Yuddha Kand. Haribol.